Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to The Robinson Show. Coming up after the break, I'll have my MMA and wrestling analyst, Eric, will talk about the greatest Royal Rumble event. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show. For the latest news and information in the world of sports, visit www.therobinsonreport.net. That's www.therobinsonreport.net. www.therobinsonreport.net.
I think the big thing is don't be afraid to fail. I think, you know, in our society today, you know, Instagram, Twitter, it's a highlight reel. You know, it's all the good things. And then when you look at it, you know, you think like, wow, when you have a rough day or your life's not as good as that, like, you know, you're failing. And I don't think, you know, failure's part of life. That's a part of building character and growing. Like, without failure, who would you be? I wouldn't be up here if I hadn't fallen thousands of times, made mistakes. You know, we all are human. We all have weaknesses. And I think throughout this, just being able to share that and be transparent. I know when I listen to people speak and they share their weaknesses, I'm listening because I can resonate. So I'm not perfect, I'm not Superman. I might be in the NFL and we might have just won the Super Bowl, but hey, we still have daily struggles. I still have daily struggles. So, but that's where my faith comes in. That's where my family comes in. And, you know, I think when you look at a struggle in your life, just know that, you know, that's just an opportunity for your character to grow. And that's really just been the message. Simple. Like, if something's going on in your life and you're struggling, embrace it, because you're growing.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season, available on ebook format at lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps on. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. This ebook will take you through the 2017 season of the Philadelphia Eagles with information and incredible pictures. Players such as Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, LeGarrette Blount, and Jay Ajayi gave fans something to talk about all season long. From start to finish, follow the Eagles through their incredible journey. That's Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. Available on ebook format at lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. In the search box, type in Ed Robinson. All right, welcome back to The Robinson Show, everybody. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And you know, I told you on last week's show I would have him back on. And this week he's back on. I have my MMA and wrestling analyst, Eric, on the program. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, man, let's get right to it. The last time I had you on the show was 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about the greatest Royal Rumble event. The event happened this past weekend in Saudi Arabia, and it had a lot of people in attendance, and let's talk about those matches. The first match we had was the WWE Cruiserweight Championship match between Cedric Alexander and Kalisto. Cedric Alexander wound up retaining his championship. Tell me, what were your thoughts on that match?
It was an okay match. Alexander, I think, was just a better athlete and just took it to Kalisto, but I think they're probably going to have a rematch down the road, but I think Cedric's going to keep that belt a little while longer.
Cedric Alexander's been making a lot of moves lately up in the Cruiserweight Championship, and he's definitely, I shouldn't say a rising star, but he's a star that's definitely moving up the ranks. All right, our next championship matchup we had was for the Raw Tag Team Championship. We had new champions. It was Woken with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. They beat Cesaro and Sheamus. Now, Cesaro and Sheamus, they had a lot of steam for a long time, but Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, they moved up the ranks and they built up enough heat and they wind up becoming new champs.
I like that tag team of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. They make a unique tag team, and I'm just glad that they won the titles. Finally, the tag team scene starting to come back together almost like it was in the 80s. You know, it seemed like the tag team scene fell off for a while, but it's getting interesting. And I like that they won the titles. And, you know, Bray Wyatt's dad won the tag titles a few times himself with the Million Dollar Man. So now Bray Wyatt has his second world title reign. His first was with Randy Orton.
That's right. And, of course, Bray Wyatt continued to move up in the company. We know about Matt Hardy and the many reigns he had with his brother Jeff. So Bray Wyatt definitely moving up in the reign, up in the rankings with the WWE. Now, we're going to stay with the tag teams, and we go over to the SmackDown Championship the SmackDown Tag Team Championship matchup between the Bludgeon Brothers defeating the Usos. The Bludgeon Brothers were the champs coming into this matchup. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, the Bludgeon Brothers going to be hard to beat. Like I said, they're like the next Kane and Undertaker, in my opinion. But don't sleep on the Usos. They've held them titles 5 times. I think they're going to get another crack at it before it's all said and done. They might win them back, but it's a dominating champion we got there in the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, you're right about that. The Bludgeon Brothers are dominant, and certainly they're going to make some noise. Most likely, I think it's going to be for the remainder of the year, so we should pay attention to that. Now, this next matchup is a rematch from WrestleMania between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship. The matchup ends in a double countout. Now, some people were saying at WrestleMania, it wasn't the match that they expected it to be. Hopefully, they would get something better here at the Greatest Royal Rumble event. Your thoughts on the matchup?
I'll be honest, it's not too good. The WrestleMania match wasn't what I thought. I agree with that. In the match at the Greatest Royal Rumble, it didn't live up to the hype. I didn't like the ending. A world title match, I like to see a 1-2-3, someone win, a double count out. And I just felt like they was trying to buy a little time in the event or something. I don't know. That matchup, really, that feud is just not going where I think they thought it would go. I don't really like the match anymore. I think they need to go different direction with the championship.
You fast forward up to my next question. I was going to ask you, do you see AJ and Shinsuke feuding some more up until SummerSlam, or perhaps you think it's over with and they're just going to give AJ another opponent, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, with it ending with a double countout, they most likely going to face each other again. But don't be surprised if the third man in there to make a triple threat or something, because, like I said, their match is just not giving it to us. I don't know what it is, if it's the chemistry or just maybe the stage was too big, but I don't know. It's just not the match we thought we was going to get. But I think they will face one more time. Like I said, maybe a triple threat match or something with someone else involved to spice up the match a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know where they want to get with these two. I just don't see them contrast.
We'll pay attention to that as we move on to our next match we had for the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match. Now, these four wrestlers have been making some noise, and they kind of represent the current and the future going into the WWE. For the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match, it was Seth Rollins, the champion. He beat Finn Balor, The Miz, and Samoa Joe. Thoughts on the match?
I was really pulling for The Miz. He's one away from tying Jericho, I believe, for all time, or he's one away of beating Jericho's Intercontinental reign of all time. I don't remember, but I know he's within striking distance. I was really pulling for Miz. I like Seth Rollins. He deserved the win. It was a good win. I don't know where Samoa Joe came at in this match, because just a month ago, no one knew where Samoa Joe was. So I don't know how he got into the match. But was Finn Balor in that match, you said?
Yeah, Finn Balor was in the match.
Yeah, it was Finn Balor in the match. That's who I thought was going to win the match. But I was pulling for The Miz, but they went with Seth Rollins. I guess they want the title reign to go a little longer. But I think Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, they need to get them two in a feud. I think that'd be some good matches there.
We could have a Seth and Finn possibly at SummerSlam, maybe in a Hell in a Cell, or maybe in a Falls Count Anywhere or something like that.
You know, maybe another ladder match, you know, or 2 out of 3 falls or something. I think they fought for the first Universal Championship match when Balor got hurt, and that was a good matchup. So see where it takes it. I think Intercontinental Championship's looking good. I like the matches they've been having. I think Miz will win it before long again, though.
You think Seth is going to have it for the remainder of the year, or you think he's going to drop it?
Oh, no way. Now, I mean, title reigns don't really last that long anymore in today's world of wrestling. You know, to see Brock Lesnar hold a Universal title for as long as he did, it's mind-boggling, because you usually don't see that in today's wrestling. So I say by SummerSlam, I think we'll have a new Intercontinental champ. Just my opinion. I don't see him holding it all the way through the year.
Our next matchup, of course, the Phenom himself, the man from the dark side, The Undertaker, squared off against Rusev in a casket match. Now, Eric, we know about the history of The Undertaker and his casket matches. Yokozuna, Big Boss Man. I mean, the list goes on and on and on when it comes to that casket match. I mean, The Undertaker's basically was the one that put it on the map since he's been in the WWE, and Rusev was his latest victim as he successfully beat him. Your thoughts on that match?
I don't know why they keep trying to bring Undertaker back. I don't know. I mean, I think my best casket match was when he fought Goldust for the Intercontinental title and Mankind came off the casket and drug him in and he lost that match. That was a good casket match. But this one against Rusev, it was just your regular tight match. Nothing really exciting about it. I don't understand what they're trying to get off the Undertaker. They say they want him to wrestle a few more times this year. But yeah, he looked slow. I mean, guess I don't know where they want to go with it at, but I guess it was just something he wanted to do for this big event. I mean, it was an okay match. Undertaker won convincingly, of course, but I don't know. I think Rusev, they need to build him up a little bit more. I like Rusev. I think he's a very talented wrestler, and I think he could go far in the WWE, give him a little bit better matches, you know, a couple of better opponents.
Yeah, you're right about Rusev. I always liked Rusev's potential since he first came into the WWE. I mean, that's someone they can really build him up, and he's a promising talent. But I want to ask you, were the fans into the casket match?
Well, the fans was in it because of Undertaker. You know, they was chanting Undertaker, Undertaker, of course, because everybody wants to see The Undertaker wrestle forever, which it's not going to happen, you know. And I think his career is coming to an end. I thought it was ending 2-3 years ago, but no, just to know Undertaker's in the ring, it was exciting. I'm not going to lie. I like to see him in the ring, but when you start watching him, it's like, okay, why are you still doing this? I think it's about time. Great career. Just let it go and let Bray Wyatt take on the dark side now, you know. But fans look like they was in it just because of the name, The Undertaker, you know.
All right, well, speaking from one future Hall of Famer, we go on to the next match where it posts two future Hall of Famers going up against one another, John Cena and Triple H. Now, these two have faced each other in numerous times throughout their WWE career. We know the championships that John Cena has held. We know about Triple H, and Triple H has transitioned from being a full-time wrestler to now a part-time wrestler. And he's also made the move into being now working in the front office with his wife and his father-in-law. So I got to ask you, Eric, John Cena and Triple H, your thoughts on this match, and was this something that was definitely worth being on the card?
Yes, it was. I knew they both could bring it, and they brought it. It was a good matchup. 30 world titles between them both. And if you remember, John Cena made Triple H tap out at WrestleMania years ago to win the world title.
That's right.
But, yeah, that match was good. It was a good matchup, good, clean match, two legends going at it, showing that they still got it. And like I said, you know, it's different from The Undertaker. The Undertaker just looked slow. Don't look like The Undertaker. Undertaker always wrestled slow, of course, but you could just tell that he just don't have what it just to carry a match no more. And John Cena and Triple H, that was a good matchup. I enjoyed the match. I wouldn't mind seeing him facing at WrestleMania next year. I mean, Triple H, like I said before, I'll keep saying it, he looks in great shape. It looks like he can make another run. That's my opinion. I mean, he really looks good. So see where they go from here with it.
No, you're right about that. Triple H can make another title run, but the problem is, like, just like a similar situation with The Undertaker, he wrestles part-time, not full-time. So I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting if they give him another title run, how he would be able to defend this title. There's only so many title defenses that he can do because he wrestles part-time and then he does his stuff up there in the front office. So it would be interesting. But what about John Cena? If you say Triple H has another title run, you think Cena's got another one in him?
The fact of Triple H is, I think if he goes to the main office, look, Vince, his father-in-law, look, put me on. I want to wrestle a little bit more. I want to win a few more titles before I hang this up. I want to at least get the 15 or 16 world titles. They'll let him do it. And I mean, look at Brock Lesnar. He hardly ever defends his title, you know. So Triple H, you know, he'll get the same treatment. John Cena, I don't know what they want to do with him. You know, he got his butt destroyed at WrestleMania against Undertaker. Then Undertaker turns around and has a good match with Rusev. Then John Cena beats Triple H. I don't know. I mean, John Cena always looks in great shape. You know, he's had a lot of injuries in the past, you know, a neck injury. He had an elbow with the flute on his elbow. He had to have his elbow cut open. And he's also going through a separation with his fiance right now. So I know his mind ain't where it should be, but he still put on a good match. And I still think he has a little something left in the tank. I really believe he might, before the year's out, break Ric Flair's record. It's possible. It can happen at any time. So I don't know. I guess time will tell.
Speaking of time will tell, time has definitely been good to Jeff Hardy, even though his time away from the WWE spent some time in TNA. But since he's been back with the company, he's definitely made his presence felt as he successfully defended his United States Heavyweight Championship by beating Jinder Mahal. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Jeff Hardy's an old veteran. He's held world titles in the WWE, multiple tag titles, came back the first night with his brother and won the tag titles at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. Now he's got his hands around the United States title. But I'm going to tell you, the hardest working man in the WWE right now is Jinder Mahal. Look at how he looked at 2 years ago compared to what he looks like right now. He's in shape. He's got a personal trainer. He's taking WWE serious, and he's going to take it by storm again. I predict him to win the world title before the year's out again. I really believe he will. He is a hard worker. He deserves anything he gets coming his way.
Like you said, he's definitely someone to make some noise. And certainly he's up there where he could challenge the likes of someone in his height and weight range, someone that could challenge the other heavyweights, like possibly a Brock Lesnar or maybe a Bray Wyatt or Luke Harper or even a Braun Strowman, somebody like that. So certainly he's definitely somebody that could have a title run before the year is up.
Oh, yeah, agree. I mean, him versus Brock Lesnar, I think, would be a good treat there. I mean, they both physical wrestlers. They both got that mean streak in them. And you said same thing with Bray Wyatt. I mean, he's won the world title at Elimination Chamber a few years ago. I can't see why Bray won't work his way back up, do it again. And it's just so exciting. A lot of these wrestlers that were tag teams or who really weren't up to the caliber of wrestlers that we thought they would be are turning to be that. And Jinder Mahal, like I said, he's a hard worker. You could tell he's ripped now. He's got a personal trainer. He really wants to leave his name stamped in the WWE. And I can't wait to see what the future brings for him.
Going from the future, we go to the current now, where we had the Universal Championship in a steel cage match, a rematch from WrestleMania between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Brock was successful in beating Roman Reigns in a steel cage match. Now, when they fought at WrestleMania, it was basically Brock controlled the match really from start to finish. Brock used his MMA taxes as well as suplexes, and Roman had some offense of his own, but it really wasn't enough because Brock really controlled the match throughout the whole way. Your thoughts?
It was a better match in WrestleMania, my opinion. It went back and forth a lot. Just the end of the matchup, you know, Brock Lesnar looked like he was about to be beaten. Roman Reigns speared him. They went through the cage and landed on the ground, but Brock Lesnar landed first. Roman Reigns landed pretty much on his head. I really thought Roman Reigns probably hurt himself, but Lesnar landed first and Roman Reigns landed, and they gave the win to Brock Lesnar, which was the right thing because he did land out the ring first. But yeah, Roman Reigns definitely had him on his way out, but you know, true champs always find a way to win, and Brock Lesnar did it again.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wanted to ask you, what was Roman's offense like? Because certainly Roman, when they had their match at WrestleMania, it seems as though he didn't have much of an offensive attack. What was his attack like in this matchup?
Well, I think he tried to match Brock Lesnar power for power, move for move. Why Brock Lesnar was putting him through Suplex City, he did about 7-8 nice suplexes. Roman Reigns hit him with about 7 or 8 nice spears, and I guess the last one, he got out of hand, and they went through the cage. The cage broke, landed outside, and Lesnar landed, then Roman Reigns landed. And by rule, first man's feet who hit the ground or hit the outside of the ring is declared the winner. But it was a good battle, and that's one I would like to see one more time. Just give it one more time. I think they should give him one more match. Samoa Joe. So I know that won't be the match at Backlash, but maybe if he gets through Samoa Joe, maybe it'd be Lesnar again. Not sure.
Yeah, it looks like this rivalry is still going to carry some steam well into the summer. Looks like we'll see Brock and Roman again, not until possibly later in the summer at SummerSlam. Because I think they're going to save it one more, save their big main event, because this would be the third match for this year. WrestleMania and then Greatest Royal Rumble, then a possible third meeting at SummerSlam. So we could see something interesting develop right there. So in the meantime, we go from Brock and Roman to the first ever 50-man Greatest Royal Rumble match. Braun Strowman was the winner. Now, I got to tell you, Braun has had a good year so far won the tag titles at WrestleMania, and then he's certainly been a star that's definitely been on the rise, and now he wins the first ever 50-man Greatest Royal Rumble match. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a few things about that match. I thought the Royal Rumble in January was better, and it was less men. I just didn't see what was the world's greatest Rumble about, because they told you everybody who was going to be in it. Now, I really enjoyed seeing Daniel Bryan come in at number one. He lasted over an hour in that Rumble. His chest was all messed up from the chops and the elbows. I mean, he went through hell in that match. But Braun Strowman came out with the win. That's why I'm thinking Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar may not keep feuding to SummerSlam. It could be Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman at SummerSlam, possibility. But like I said, they gave away a lot of the wrestlers in there. They should have kept some of it on a hush, like Jericho, Rey Mysterio. We knew all of them was going to be in there before the Rumble. I just like the element of surprise. But it was an okay Rumble. I still think the one in January, the original Royal Rumble, I thought it was a little bit better than that one.
Do you remember what number Braun Strowman was?
Braun Strowman came in probably mid-40s. He wasn't in there, I'm not going to say he was in there 30, 40 minutes, but he came in maybe in the mid-40s somewhere and eliminated a lot of people in the little time he was in there. But like I said, Daniel Bryan showed that he could still do it. I think he's going to have a heck of a year. I think he'll be a main event at WrestleMania. He was in there over an hour. Him and Dolph Ziggler came in 1 and 2, and they both was in there a long time. But Daniel Bryan was in there well over an hour, and he showed that he could wrestle. And I just hope he could keep doing it, because I really enjoy watching him. I thought he would win it, you know, being in there for number one. I mean, he was in there, I think he was like one of the last 10 in the ring, and finally got eliminated. But interesting to see how things play out now that they got Strowman winning this big Rumble. You would think he would get a world title shot, because usually that's what happens when someone runs a Royal Rumble, and it was called the Greatest Royal Rumble. So maybe that's what's building up for SummerSlam, you know, Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that could be it right there. So finally, give us your thoughts on the event. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think?
I give it a strong 7, possibly 8, but a strong 7. Like I said, I didn't like what hurt me with it was, be honest with you, I couldn't watch it live. You know, I was at work, but when I got off, I come home and I watched it. Then they're 5 hours long. Like I said, you know, the matches were okay. They threw a lot of big names in this event to try to get the sales, which I don't think they have to do, like Undertaker and Rusev. It was okay match. It was more like a Backlash match or one of those little lower-rated pay-per-view matches. You know, Triple H, Cena, you know, they brought it. You always enjoy seeing them wrestle. You know, the Rumble itself was interesting. Just, you know, hardly few titles changed hands. The only one title that didn't really change hands was the Raw titles, because the winner would become the champs. So Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy won it, which I said I liked them as a tag team. Just soon to see, but would they ever do it again? I don't know. But I also like the location. That was unique. You know, usually don't see something like that. I mean, just looking at the crowd and how they was dressed in the crowd and the people, they was excited. Maybe that's why they were so excited about The Undertaker, because maybe they haven't seen him wrestle as much as we see him over here. Maybe been a different reaction if he was, say, wrestling in Chicago or Los Angeles or something, because, you know, we see him more. But where they was at, you know, we hardly ever do any wrestling events live like that. They're live where you could watch it on the network, and it was a treat to watch because it came on a Friday. But I give it about a 7. I think they could have done a little bit better with it, but no one's perfect. It was entertaining. I enjoyed watching it.
Do you see the WWE possibly doing something over there again in the near future, whether it be something for the network or possibly bringing a WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's what I believe is happening, man. I think we're about to see a lot of different changes. Like I said, don't be surprised if you see a WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia, Japan, you know, anywhere. So I believe that women will main event at WrestleMania. I said this on the last show. I think WrestleMania 1 year will be the women in the main event. Who it would be, I'm not sure. Probably Charlotte, Ronda Rousey, who knows. But I see them doing WrestleMania, not just here in the States. They're going to go worldwide. You know, some of these stadiums in Japan hold over 100,000. I don't know what the attendance was at the Greatest Royal Rumble. There's a lot of people there, though. I'm pretty sure it was well over 50,000. Yeah, they didn't announce it that night. I was hoping they would, but they never announced the attendance. But, like, by looking at it, they had a good bit of people there. just having fun, enjoying the matches.
The attendance was 60,000. That's the number that just came out.
I knew it was more than 50 or more. I knew that.
Yeah.
By looking at the crowd.
Yep, the number was 60,000 at King Abdullah International Stadium. So it looks like the company made a lot of money, not just with the sales from the network, but also from the ticket sales over there as well.
Yeah, it looks like that's a place they could look in the future to do some WrestleManias, maybe another Greatest Royal Rumble, who knows? But it's interesting to see if they do it.
That's been my MMA and wrestling analyst, Eric, talking about the Greatest Royal Rumble event. Eric, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll get you back on so we can talk about Backlash. Is that okay?
Sounds great to me. Can't wait to watch the event. Can't wait to be on the show again.
All right, solid. That's my wrestling and MMA analyst, Eric. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of The Robinson Show.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps on. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around. Complete, and the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Flying high to victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. This ebook will take you through the 2017 season of the Philadelphia Eagles with information and incredible pictures. Players such as Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, LeGarrette Blount, and Jay Ajayi gave fans something to talk about all season long. From start to finish, follow the Eagles through their incredible journey. That's Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. Available on ebook format at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. In the search box, type in Ed Robinson. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get you caught up on tonight's NBA and NHL playoff schedule, as well as the Major League Baseball schedule. Let's start off with tonight's NBA playoff schedule. We have game one of the Eastern Conference semifinal between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. Game begins at 7 p.m. on TNT. And in the nightcap, game two of the Western Conference semifinal between the New Orleans Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors. That game is set to tip off at 9:30 p.m. on TNT. Golden State leads the series 1-0. Meanwhile, in the NHL playoffs, game three of the Eastern Conference semifinal between the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. That game will be for 6:30 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network. The series is tied at 1. And game three of the Western Conference semifinal between the Nashville Predators and the Winnipeg Jets. The game begins at 7 p.m. on CNBC. The series is tied at 1 game apiece. And also tonight's Major League Baseball schedule, we have the Texas Rangers battling the Cleveland Indians. Also, the Pittsburgh Pirates will battle the Washington Nationals. The Milwaukee Brewers will take on the Cincinnati Reds. The Atlanta Braves will play the New York Mets. The Kansas City Royals take on the Boston Red Sox. The Philadelphia Phillies will play the Miami Marlins. The Tampa Bay Rays will play the Detroit Tigers. The Colorado Rockies will take on the Chicago Cubs. The Toronto Blue Jays will play the Minnesota Twins. The New York Yankees take on the Houston Astros. It'll be the White Sox of Chicago taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. The Dodgers will play the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Orioles will play the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And also in the nightcaps tonight, the games on the West Coast between the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners and the San Diego Padres taking on the San Francisco Giants. And don't forget, as always, for all your scores and news, check out therobinsonreport.net. For all your latest, whether it be NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, or anything else in between, go to therobinsonreport.net for your latest scores and information. And don't forget, available now on ebook on lulu.com, Flying High to Victory, the exciting ebook that takes you through the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. It is certainly something you don't want to miss. It is a great read. It's a great pickup and something that you'll enjoy. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson. This has been The Robinson Show. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. And as always, remember, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace. For the latest news and information in the world of sports, visit www.therobinsonreport.net. That's www.therobinsonreport.net. www.therobinsonreport.net.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps on. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. This ebook will take you through the 2017 season of the Philadelphia Eagles with information and incredible pictures. Players such as Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, LeGarrette Blount, and Jay Ajayi gave fans something to talk about all season long. From start to finish, follow the Eagles through their incredible journey. That's Flying High to Victory, a recap of the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season. Available on ebook format at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. In the search box, type in Ed Robinson.